Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I don't know what happened, but let's try it again. Mic on. Oh, yes, it is. Good evening, and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and today is 8/5/2023, and I want to say thank you guys for tuning in for another Saturday, another episode on the TMGS. I have to give a shout out. Because I know there's going to be a lot of folks who's been tuning in and everything, and they're like, wow, you know, that was a long introduction. Well, yeah, it was to a certain extent, because I have to give props to the man who made the song. That's called Conversation Piece, which was written and given to me by Mr. Joe Foxworth. I don't know how many of y'all know about the group called Ozone. They used to be on Motown. Remember Ozone? You know, they had the hit song called Feel Like I Wanna Strut My Thing, Feel Like I Wanna. And then it did Jiggle From Side to Side, you know, Jiggle From Side to Side. Can you dig it? With Tina Marie. So, yeah. But Joe was a guest on the show, and he said, man, I got a good track for you. It's called Conversation Piece. And, yes, it's been our opening theme for quite some time now. So, and I truly appreciate it. But again, welcome to the show. We have some topics. Of course, as many of you who listen to us know, that in the first hour, what we do, we discuss the hot topics in politics, what's going on locally, nationally, stories and everything, and get your point of view of your thought process of what's happening. And yeah, there's been some great responses, great points of views all the time, okay? But then in the second hour, we have a special guest, a nonprofit organization called the Nightlife Outlaws, who do a lot for the community in Birmingham, Alabama. Wait a minute. Did I have somebody from Birmingham here last week? I do believe I did. And that was a great conversation. So appreciate them for coming on, and maybe they'll drop by this evening. So without further ado, though, I want to open up the mic to a co-host. And in fact, I have to say this, one of our co-hosts, Mr. Timon Schiff, will not be able to make the show because, unfortunately, there was a passing in the family. He's on his way to Las Vegas. So much prayers go out to Timon. And yeah. So without further ado, let me open up the mic to my right hand, my shotgun, the one and only Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. Hey, Janet, how you doing?
Good evening. Good. But I have death also in the family, but the funeral won't be until August the 9th in Rochester, New York. My niece, my great niece that I was telling you about that passed, suddenly had a baby that was 8 months.
Wow.
The family is on their way up to Rochester now, and some will be flying in a little later, but the ones that are driving are on their way.
Right. Well, definitely condolences to the family, you know, and, you know, it's sad that, and I know you've lost, you know, and I'm not trying to call you out, but I'm just saying that you've lost quite a few family members within a short period of time. So I know that has to be really difficult for you and the family, you know, so.
I'm the last in my family, the last in the immediate family. I'm the last one. And it's kind of eerie. You know, especially at first, it took a lot to sink in, but I've adjusted, you know, and I just pray God will continue to protect and keep me safe and that I can live a little bit longer.
There you go.
I never thought I would be the last one.
Well, you know, in my family, I'm the last male sibling of my father.
Right.
All three of my brothers are gone. I'm 61 years old, and I'm like, wow, where are my brothers? Fortunately, I still have two sisters. I know what you're feeling. You know, I don't have that. You know, well, my dad is gone too. So yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. It's a moment in time where you're like, wow, you didn't see it coming, but, you know, you have to deal with it, and I deal with it every day, and I think about my brothers every day. So, you know, I just wondering.
My last two siblings, my sister, my younger sister, passed, and the day of her repass, my older sister passed. And so out of a family of nine, I'm the last one.
Of nine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nine siblings.
Right. And you're the last of nine. And I'm not the last of six, but I'm the last boy of six or son of six.
Right.
So yeah.
Right.
I can feel you on that. I see there's a caller here in fact, you know, I know there's gonna be a lot of 205s on the board right now. And that's Birmingham, Alabama. And yeah, I used to live in Birmingham. I worked over there, and one of my siblings used to live there. So this should be interesting for the next 2 hours. I see 1-205-223 have waved their hand. I'm going to go ahead and open up their mic, and just keep in mind we have some other topics we're going to get to before we get to the Nightlife Outlaws and what they do for the community in Birmingham and other, not just Birmingham, but just other neighboring communities, and we have some questions we're going to ask, But I'm going to go ahead and open up 205-223 since they waved their hand. What's up, B-Ham?
What's going on, brother? How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, what's going on, brother? How's it going?
It's going. I don't know how, but it's going. But I'm thankful and blessed, you know.
Hey,
go ahead and share your name. And, of course, I already said you're from Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes, yes. I'm Nathan Perry, Sr. I'm the founder of Nightlife Outlaws. And in Birmingham, Alabama, we're trying to make it do what it do. Every day above ground is a good day. You're blessed, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, sir.
Wow.
Thank you, Nathan, for agreeing to come on the show. All right.
No problem.
And yeah, he chimed in right away. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, cool. That's fine. And this is senior. Now, what I'm saying, junior is going to chime in too. Am I right?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's going to come on in.
Okay, fantastic. Well, let me go ahead. Allow me to go ahead and open up the mics of my co-hosts that are popping up. I see Officer Crenshaw's there. Officer Crenshaw, hit the number one when you're ready to chime in. But what we're going to do, we're going to get to the topics in our first hour of what's going on. You know, we have to do the political stuff first. And as you all know, how in the world did we get to this point of a former president of the United States being indicted three times and on the way of being indicted four times? And he's the number one candidate for presidency in the Republican Party. What the hell is going on here, y'all? Help me understand this.
That's been
impeached
twice.
Yeah, but that, I mean, I know we spoke on this a little bit last week. And by the way, I want to say thanks to Joel Regal for being my guest last week from Birmingham, Alabama, Alabama with Regal Tea brand. But don't you think this is kind of scary that the American public or the individuals who are Republicans feel like he did no wrong? Don't you think that this is kind of scary?
Yes, it is.
Because,
I mean,
you know, because
sorry.
No, go ahead. But
well,
I'm just saying.
I was going to say that the judge told that former President Trump that he had to be careful about what he was saying because she knows he's on a political out there campaigning and everything and
right.
having his rally. Well, right after she says that, he gives somewhat a threat saying,
right.
if you come after me, I'm coming, I'm going to come after you.
What the hell? Is this not a narcissist or what?
I
mean,
I
be honest. Come on, man. You know, I mean, so I'm trying to get my head all together on this, right? I'm trying to wrap my head around this. And I see that Officer Crenshaw waved his hand. I'm going to open up your mic in a moment.
Yeah.
But the thing for me is that where here are individuals who were Republicans. Keep in mind what he said. The best of the best, only the best in my administration. Believe that. It's going to be the best of the best. Believe that. I promise you. And all of them are coming out to save their asses. Right?
The judge asked
they're
for a protective order. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So they're all testifying. All right, sharing what they know to be true to save their own asses. And I don't think that they're trying to throw Donald Trump underneath the bus because let's think logically here. They worked for the man. And after working for him and seeing how he operates, they're like, oh, hell, I got to get the hell out of this. Nope, you're already caught. The investigations have been going on, and your name has been brought up, and we're going to talk to you about it, of what you know. That's just the law. That's how investigations work, right? So,
yeah.
Third indictment. In Atlanta, Georgia, it will be the fourth. And let me tell you guys, for you folks that don't know, already in downtown Atlanta, they have barricades around the courthouse. They put those in last week. Come Monday, those streets will be completely shut down to all traffic. So, and they said, allegedly, that it will be that way for the next 11 days. If you don't believe me, look it up. So apparently it looks like he's going to be indicted the fourth time. And let's remember that this was the Republican Party of Reagan. And so, and Reagan never was indicted.
Right.
You know, I mean, never indicted, never did nothing illegal. Okay. But right now, this is the Republican Party of, well, hold on. This is the Republican Party of Donald J. Trump, who's about to go on his fourth indictment. What is the Republican Party thinking? And the supporters, it's like, really, you guys, you all want to take it there? And if he is found guilty by the jury of his peers, what are you going to do then? You're going to riot? You're going to make it worse? And I'm really wondering what other countries are thinking. They're probably laughing their damn asses off like, oh, and this is America? Interesting thought, and I want to get you guys opinions on it. But in the meantime, I'm going to open up the microphone of the one and the only. He's a guest co-host from time to time, but I truly appreciate all the work and everything that he's shared with us over the years. And it is Officer Crenshaw.
What's happening, Mike? Hey, Janet.
Okay,
how you doing, Mr. Perry? How you doing, Mr. Perry?
All right, how's it going, brother?
All right. I'm a ghost co-host, Mike, and I just kind of show up every now and then. I'm here. I'm in the middle of doing something, but you know I got to listen when I can, so I'm going to kind of be quiet.
Yes,
and if I got something, I'll chime in, but I'm going to pretty much put myself on mute and kind of listen.
But can you just kind of like respond to what I just said about the whole thing of three indictments going on four of a former president?
Well, knowing Fulton County the way I did after retiring from there, it's not just Trump that's going to get indicted. And I know Fannie Willis. I know her methodical thinking about different things. She was the prosecutor that actually got the Fulton County school that when they indicted all those officials that was on the school board, she was the one in charge of that. So she does believe in conspiracy and RICO and all of that. So all those little pantsless PUs, you know, I don't want to say that word out loud, that's running around defending Trump, they might as well get ready to pull their pants down when they go to jail too. So
right.
She's going to get them. I mean, Lindsey Graham, he's an attorney, you know, out of the Carolinas. So he's going to try to have something to stand on. But you can just tell out of his demeanor, he's scared to death. Trump's going to tell something on him. Trump's going to tell something that's going to get him caught up in something. And Trump's pretty much pushing the privileged card to the max. He did this just to see what the judge would do because nobody else has really done anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So he pushed that to that point. And she's not going to have it. You know, that was a pretty much that was more of a direct threat than anything he said throughout all of this.
So let
and
me
what
run
he was doing.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
that
ahead.
Was cold. That was cold to his followers.
That's right. His base.
That was cold to his followers.
So if you guys don't mind, I want to run this past for those that don't know what was said, and I always try to let you know where I got the information from, and this is from Politico, I believe. Prosecutors asked judge to issue protective order after Trump post appearing to promise revenge. The Justice Department has asked a federal judge overseeing the criminal case against former President Donald Trump in Washington to step in after he released a post online that appeared to promise revenge on anyone who goes after him. Prosecutors on Friday requested that U.S. District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan issue a protective order concerning evidence in the case a day after Trump pleaded not guilty to charges of trying to overturn his 2022 election loss and block the peaceful transition of power. The order, different from a, quote, gag order, would limit what information Trump and his legal team could share publicly about the case brought by special counsel Jack Smith. Chutkan on Saturday gave Trump's legal team until 5 p.m. Monday to respond to the government's request. Trump's legal team, which has indicated he would look to slow the case down despite prosecutors' pledge of a speedy trial, then filed a request to extend the response deadline to Thursday and to hold a hearing on the matter. It needed more time for discussion. Okay, so, I mean, this is one of the most craziest things I've ever heard in my life, and I'm pretty sure that they say unprecedented. Yeah, you're right. It's unprecedented. No president has been indicted until Donald Trump. Now, I can see if you are indicted for maybe one crime, but this guy is going on four in different states, and people are thinking
it should be 99. Oh, it's conspiracy.
Well, you can go back to where. Okay, so here's the thing I'm trying to stick to. They don't want to look at, and I'm talking about the followers of the crimes that he committed in the past and was found guilty of. Remember the hotel thing, or I'm sorry, the apartment thing. Remember the numerous times he filed bankruptcy, and the owners of the companies that built his casinos never got their money. Neither did the workers. Imagine you. I'm talking to you, listeners. You're working for a company building Donald Trump's casino hotels / whatever you want to call it. And you're happy. Hey, look, but then towards the end, the company that you work for, Donald Trump didn't pay them. So in turn, you ain't getting a damn dime. Are you a Donald Trump fan? Hell no. And he's filed bankruptcy 7 times. Him and his daddy were found guilty of other charges long before he became president. And now he becomes president, but you believe, oh, he's a good businessman. Now, the past tells you, no, he wasn't. And think about it, what people are saying, Donald Trump's a businessman. Did you look at his history as a businessman? No, you didn't. In my opinion, no, you didn't. Because had you done that, you wouldn't have been following him. You were ignorant to the fact of his past crimes and convictions. But now he is the top in the Republican. I'm sorry, Janet. I'm gonna let you speak on that one. This is ridiculous, utterly ridiculous.
Well, first of all, I'm from upstate New York, and anybody who's up in that area would know all the things that Trump did. And that's one of the main reasons why New York finally threw cast him out. And that's why he had to take his happy tail down to Mar-a-Lago after he was no longer in the White House. The one thing I need to say is, if you are innocent, you would want a speedy trial. You would want to go on and get it over to clear your name.
Good point. Very good
this
point.
This person is trying to delay, deflect.
Drag it out.
Right.
Yep.
And that's because he knows he's guilty. And he's trying to buy time so that he can get back in the White House. He already said he's going to dismantle everything once he's back in there. And he wants to be able to get pardoned or make this all go away. If we want our democracy, we need to get out and vote like we never voted before. Like he said, never fought before. We need to vote like we've never voted before in order to not let this guy get back in, because if he gets in, he's going to dismantle. People who don't have a democracy know how precious it is in order to have it. We take it for granted. And that's what's so sad, you know, that they would let somebody die. They called Pence today a traitor.
Right.
You know?
Because, see, what would have happened had Pence done what Donald Trump did, it would have been an issue even then. But based on what you just said, the key thing is to drag it out. Because by being – now, if Donald Trump was lower in the polls, I think that it would be a different outlook. I think that he would look at it in the sense of where, taking advantage of the fact that, well, I'm high in the polls, and you notice that he doesn't talk about what he's going to do for America when he becomes president. He's talking about everything that is going against him. See, so that shows the ignorance of the MAGA group of where, well, we just want you back as president. But he's not able to tell you what he's going to do as president. Right now, everything's about him. All about, you know, and you guys got to keep in mind.
They're a minority, and they're afraid that it's going to be taken away. And that's why they're doing all these crazy things to try and have it where they're still on top.
He has 56% of Republicans that are looking at him being president again. They're ignoring 3 indictments going on 4. They're ignoring that. They don't believe that he committed a crime. And like I said before, you have to remember that the people who are testifying are not Democrats. It's Republicans, people who used to work for his ass. And I'm trying to understand that shit.
They know he committed a crime.
Hold on, Janet. Okay, and I'm going to let you respond. He's telling his base it's all a lie and everything. But the people who are speaking to the DOJ are folks who worked with him within the Republican Party. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense. But you want to blame the Democrats for what's going on.
Not a Democrat.
No.
Not a Democrat is having anything to say about what Trump did during his administration. It's all Republicans. It's staunch Republicans, people who care about their country.
Well, okay, to clarify that, no Democrats were brought to be questioned about what had happened during that time. Okay, right. But that's exactly what I'm saying, is that where all this evidence that they're getting in order to press charges is coming from Republicans who are part of the Republican Party that either worked for Donald Trump, been around him and everything. That's where that information is coming from. See, you know, the thing is that people have to remember is that where if you really pay attention to, like, even your shows, right? Your shows, when they take you into that interrogation room, they ask you questions, and you sit there and lie, and they'd be like, oh, okay. Then they go to the next one and everything. They already have evidence. Y'all see. You see it on the first 48, and they know that you're lying. They're like, mm-hmm, okay. That's what you want to stick to, right? Okay, cool. Then they open up the game box on your ass, and they'd be like, this is what we know. Now you're sweating, turning red, looking stupid, and now they're telling you, you either need to tell us the truth or we're going to charge you. Give you a prime example, and I know I'm going off course here. Guy came into a Walmart trying to steal a cash register, literally the cash drawer. And a customer saw it. The employee who worked in that department, which was the electronics area, was helping another customer. A customer saw it, told me about it. And I went to a manager and I said, hey, look, there's a guy here. He's been walking around all day long. You know, so the manager said, hey, look, I need you to leave the store. He left out. But what AP, Asset Protection, did, they went back and looked at the video of when he was making that attempt. And what they did, they rewind that tape all the way back to the point he came inside the store, and they saw the vehicle he got out of. Let me tell you how technology is about crime. Amazing. They saw the license plate number of the person who dropped him off at the store. Sent it over to the detectives. They found out who owned that car and got in touch with the person and told them, either you tell us who the hell was in that car or you're going to be an accessory. You follow me? They don't play. And the reason why I share that story is that the fact that even with this, what's going on with former President Donald Trump, I hate when they say President Donald Trump. They should say former President Donald Trump. In fact, the magistrate judge addressed him as Mr. Trump. Okay, not President Trump, not former, just Mr. Trump. He is not a president anymore. He's a regular citizen.
Can I say something?
Sure.
When Trump walked across the stage at one of his rallies a couple of days ago, I looked at the folder that he had in his hand, and it had a presidential
seal on it. Presidential seal.
I said, what the bleep, bleep, bleep? Because he's walking around acting like he's still president. He's got a split country.
That's what he wants to be, is he wants to be, you know, if you really think about it, and we're going to change the gears in a moment, but you really think about what this former president has shared with you, the American public. What street he said he could shoot somebody and people still vote for him? What street? Fifth Avenue?
Fifth Avenue.
Okay, he said that. What did he say about when he asked Putin if he had anything to do with any wrongdoing? He said what? Well, I believe him.
No, he said that Putin didn't have anything to do with it, but Putin in turn said, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
No, but you remember the time that they were standing side by side and Donald Trump said, well, I asked him, and he said he didn't. That's just like
a child.
That's
what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right.
And then Putin said he did.
After the fact, right. But it's like a child. if you see that something is broken in the kitchen, you know nobody else was in there but your kid, right? And you ask him, did you break that? Nah. You know they're lying. You heard it crash on the floor, okay? But Donald Trump, I believe Putin. And then the love affair with North Korea's president. He wrote me a lovely letter. You guys, we can't make this shit up. These are the things and the words that comes out of the former president's mouth. But again, I'll say, he is the top candidate in the Republican Party. And what that should tell you is that they don't care about law, the people who feel like he should be president again. They don't care about his crimes or it being investigated. They don't care. They just believe in what he says and does. They have been brainwashed in a sense of where America politics don't work, or the thing that has been all about America is all false. Believe me, and I'm going to take you on a different path. If this don't sound like some Jim Jones shit, I don't know what it is. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. All right, so the time is now 6:36. Janet, we have to change topics here because we could talk about Donald Trump all night long, but we really can't because we do have our special guest joining us at the top of the hour. So I just wanted to share that and go over it. And by the way, for all of you that are on the board, and you know what? I've got to look at the chat room, see what folks are saying in the chat room. So please forgive me for you folks that are in the chat room. I'm going to definitely read your post. Okay, so enough of Donald Trump. Wow, this cat. Let me look at this other topic I want us to talk about. Since there's a lot of folks here from Birmingham, and Janet, I want to switch gears a little bit. We did mention the young lady that was lied about her kidnapping there. Y'all on the board know what I'm talking about, so you know, go ahead and wave your hand if you want to chime in. In fact, Nathan Perry, I see that you're there, Junior. You know, that became national news, kidnapping. What was your thoughts when you first heard about this? Nathan there? His mic is open.
Yeah, this is Senior. This is Senior here.
Senior, I'm sorry. Nathan Perry, Senior.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I apologize. When I heard that story here, and I used to live in Birmingham. I know Homewood area, you know. In fact, I used to work at the AutoZone over there, you know. And I'm trying to like visualize of what she's talking about. But what was your thoughts when you first heard about that story?
Honestly, bull. I'm just gonna tell you straight up, brother, bull. Because.
Mm-hmm.
That part of 459, and it's dark. And let's be honest with you, you know, we got a thing we say around the way. You see a kid walking down the street, down a busy highway, really, a child.
That's dark.
And there's
that,
no cars
that is dark,
around.
Yeah.
Right. It's dark. No cars around. Nothing. No other people but this toddler that you claim. I mean, even if I was to see that, come on, man. You know, as a black person, I can't say what we say, but your spidey senses will start tingling. Does that make sense to you? Okay, that don't sit well. Now, but when I heard that, I told my wife, I said, what kind of crap is this right here? And I told her that morning, I said, you know what that sounds like to me? She said, what? I said, that sounds like some white people stuff. when you don't get your way, something don't go to. I'm just keeping it 100 with you. And if you don't get what you want, your parents don't get you the new car, your boyfriend doesn't love you, something don't add up in your life, you flip out and you do something crazy like this right here to get attention, to get them to bend to your will. I told her then, I said, I don't want to hear no more of that because that don't even make sense.
Right.
Then if the toddler was on the side of the highway, I'm a truck driver. Why did he get run over?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Let's be logical.
Okay. And you know, and as I said, that I know the area. I used to live in that area. I used to work in that area. And then as when I found out that it was that area, I was like, whoa, hold up. Don't add up, okay? I said that. But when you found out if this was a young black woman, and then when you start listening to, because when I listened to the 911 call, that's what really tripped me out of, you know, how calm she was talking
right.
to 911. Like, it's not an emergency. You guys, I mean, think about it. Any mother, any woman, any person, if you saw a quote-unquote toddler on the side of the road, first of all, you would have pulled over and grabbed that kid off the road. You would have been standing on the sitting on the phone talking to the cops to say, hey, I see a kid on the side of the road. You would go assist that kid. I mean, I'm the same. And get them off the road. There's no parent around, right? But the way she talked about it, like, nonchalant, she was like, yeah, I see it. And they said, okay, well, are you helping the kid or – no, I'm just sitting in my car. And the 911 operator asked her this. What's the description of your car? Oh, it's a red Mercedes-Benz. She's just so happy to share that information. But where's your concern about this child that you claim have seen on the road? Does that make sense? Where's your concern?
Right.
I would think that any parent, any adult, would be like, oh, my God, there's a kid out here on the side of the road. I don't know where the parents are. I don't see anybody around. You know what I'm saying? That's how I probably would have reacted, and I think most of you would too. But her reaction was just so nonchalant. Correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah.
If you heard the 911 call.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know what, honestly, that's about 60%. I'm with you, but come on, brother. This Birmingham.
I love
it.
Yeah.
It's so much scams going on nowadays. Even the people that want to do the right thing and help people, it's hard. Because the very time you let your guard down to help somebody, you end up a victim of circumstance. And I'm just going to keep it 100.
Well, okay. Well, all right. Before we because we got 15 minutes, I was told from a friend of mine that lives in Birmingham just this week, there was a murder of two firemen at the fire station in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of that story, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
And they had a $5,000 reward. Now it's up to like $10,000 or something. That someone came into the fire department, shot and killed one. Injured another. What do you think was the reason for that? Which there's no reason to kill anybody, but what do you think? And I think there's still that person's still on the loose. They're still looking for them. And again, I say I used to live in Birmingham, so I know a lot about BM too. But what would you guess was the reason for a person to come into a fire station and shoot two firemen? I've never heard of that ever happening before.
Right, yeah. I mean, clearly one was targeted and the other one was just collateral damage.
There you go. Good point.
That's the best way I can put it, because, you know, streets talk all day long, so.
Right.
And I put it to
you
like
and
this.
The same thing.
Uh-huh.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
You know, that's just pretty much where I'm going to leave that at. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it was hard for me to hear that. I'm like, and I was trying to think about it. I said, but why would they do it? But you hit it right on the nail, you know, head on the nail, where it had to have been something personal. And this individual came to this individual's job and took revenge for whatever happened, right? And unfortunately, the other fireman was there, and so they figured, well, can't leave a witness, right?
There you go.
That's when I'm assuming the situation. But, yeah, when I heard that, I was like, wow. I've never – because it's like someone going into a police station and shooting an officer. You won't hear that. But a fire station, a first responder – you come to their job. That blew me away when I heard that, sir. Janet, you have anything you want to say about that story? Which I'm going to pull that up next week and we'll talk about it. We are almost at the top of the hour, but I just wanted to throw that in there because for you folks who don't know that, yeah, that's what just recently happened in Birmingham, Alabama. But fortunately, at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to an organization that is looking out for certain things and doing things. But Janet, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, that one, I really didn't hear anything about Michael, so I have no comment at this time.
Mm-hmm. So isn't it amazing that certain things that are becoming just local news, and to me that should have been like a national story. You know, when you talk about stuff that goes on in local areas, should be a concern everywhere. And going back to the young lady there did the whole thing of the alleged kidnapping, the white guy with the red hair. The white guy with the red hair, I was like, okay. Someone said to me, she's describing what he would consider a redneck. Well, not every white guy with red hair is a redneck, okay? Let's get that clear. But by her making that comment and everything, there's been a lot of folks who feel like she should be given the biggest punishment that the law allows.
They're going to charge
which would be a year in prison, right? I, you know, don't feel like that's right. What I think what should be done is that there should be an evaluation. And I've said this before on other shows, and I'm saying it again on this show. Think about the mass murders, the school shooters and everything. Every time you hear about that, what's the first thing you hear? Oh, it must be some mental health issues. But no one said that about this young lady. She might be going through some mental health issues. So why not go ahead and evaluate her first, or at least give the respect of that might be the first thing to do. Evaluate her. Because you do it on all these kids who go into the high schools and kill numerous kids, you automatically say, they have a mental health issue. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm sure you all have heard it on every single case. Every case.
Right.
Okay. Nobody died over her false claim. No one was murdered. There was no child found on the road. But they're looking at giving her, you know, a sentence for false, and yes, it's against the law, but we need to help her out. In my opinion, this woman had a good job. She was going, I think she was going to school. Either way, she was okay. Something snapped in her head for her to do what she did. So why don't we have her evaluated first before we throw her underneath the train and throw her in jail? I say the train, not the bus. I know some of you folks are probably thinking, no, Michael, it's bus. No, I say the train. See, buses have rubber tires. Trains have wheels, steel wheels. And they're trying to put steel wheels over her immediately. So why don't we take it at that point? Okay. What's your thoughts on that,
Mike?
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Mike, you know, it's possibly PTSD. You know, she's working as a nurse and possibly saw something that traumatized her.
Hello. Hello.
You know,
that's
so,
what I'm talking about.
They do need to do an evaluation of her, you know, to find out exactly why. But considering it's Alabama, and when I was in Alabama down in Huntsville, driving from Huntsville through Decatur, I got the shit scared out of me when they, you know, rode up on us. So that was a long time ago. But
you still remember it, though,
huh? Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah, dude. I thought I was going to be gone. She's a black female, a young black female, in a profession that people are looking at right now as a high-grade profession because of COVID and everything else that's going through. It's a profession that's in demand. So they want to make an example of her. You know, they want to, they need to get that little, they need to, I want to say this, but I don't want to say this, that little Yoda-looking dude that they had in Alabama that was working for Trump and then left.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember his name. I guess Sexton or Saxton or something like that. They need to get him to start speaking on some stuff. You know, because he'll tell the real deal that's going on down in Alabama, because he's like Ernest T. Bass. You know, he's going to throw the rock through the window.
Okay. Wow. Okay, that's an interesting response. I'm looking at the board, and I'm seeing where I'm seriously, I'm really happy to see all these phone calls that are coming in. So let me let you guys know what you can do. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS, which is for the Michael Gay Show. If you don't want to talk, you can go ahead and post your questions or comments on the show as we get ready to welcome our guests in the next part of the, well, top of the hour. Or you can hit the number one on your phone, okay, just before we get started with our conversation with our special guest. And I will open up your line and let you chime into the conversation. Real easy to do, okay? Now, with that being said, we're almost at the top of the hour, so I'm going to go ahead and take a music break. And by the way, as I'm talking, I'm typing in something, okay, because someone's responding. But, okay, I'm seeing some hands wave. All right, that's great. That's what I want to see, some hands wave. There we go. Okay, so let's take a quick music break, and we'll come back, and I'll introduce our guest. Come next Saturday, our guest is going to be Mr. Joe Levy. This guy, I mean, awesome. I call him the crooner. He really is. Awesome music, awesome songs, and he's going to be joining us next Saturday here on the show, so make sure that you tune in, make it a point to listen to it. But right now I'm going to give you a sample of his music. His album is number one in the UK on all the charts. You can pull it up, and I'm going to share with you guys. You can listen to him. I mean, this is a great guy. So right now, let's take a break. We'll be right back. You listen to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be right back.
I enjoy my favorite view. Just the thought of loving you, yeah. You got me burning, baby.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now, back to the show.
Hey, this is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gay Show. Yeah!
Oh, well, okay, thank you, St. James. Thank you, Cheryl Cooley. Appreciate the drop. Welcome back to the show. And we're just a minute before the top of the hour, but what we're about to do is bring in our special guest. I was told about this nonprofit organization by a listener, and I was really impressed with what they shared with me or what they do. So I see a lot of people from Beeham chiming in. Thank you, guys. See your hands up. So I'm going to open up your mics momentarily. Right now, I already know that I have Nathan Perry Sr. here on the board. So
yes,
I want
sir.
You guys to do me a favor. Everyone, please do me a favor and put your hands together for our guest of an organization which is doing a lot of great things in their community. Nightlife. Outlaws.
Put
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you, Audrey. Okay. Good evening, Mr. Perry, and thank you for chiming in earlier in the show. Appreciate your comment and everything in the topics. But welcome to the TMGS. I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's just a pleasure. It really is. What I've heard about your organization was very interesting to me, and so that's how come I'm loving to have you here. So my first question is, what is the goal of the Nightlife Outlaws?
Well, our goal is to each one teach one. Let's mm-hmm. reach back and give to our communities, because we all here, we notice what a lot that is missing in the homes, and that is the father figure. So mm-hmm. with society taking the father figures out of these homes, and not to mention the school system taking electives out of schools, I mean, what are these kids learning? You know, when I was growing up, yeah, I grew up without a father, but my uncles, they stepped in. Thank God for them guys. And I love them. God knows I love them to life. And they would always have some input in me somewhere to do something other than what you was doing. And thank God for guys in the community that was working on mechanics. They were working on cars, this, that, and the other. And as I became a young man, I became a knucklehead. And those guys yanked me up by the collar and said, hey, brother, there's more to life than what you're doing. Tell me your end game to this right here. How is this helping you or the community or your family? It don't make dollars. It don't make sense. Right then and there, they took me under their wings and taught me how to work on a vehicle. And that pulled me out of the streets. And when I see these young brothers out here, you know, talking about they love a woman and they want this, and you can't even pump gas. You don't even know how to change a flat. How is this woman supposed to look at you as a man and you don't even know how to change a flat? Come on, bro. Where did
you can't change a tire. You can't do none of that.
Exactly. I mean, I'm from the time and era where men were men and women were glad of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even all about money. When you step up on the scene, when a man comes up and he knows how to handle business, a woman to say, hey, I can get with this guy and take my 50 cent, he put his 50 cent, boy, we can make a dollar. And when I just see so many of these young brothers, they don't know, they have no clue. So we try to teach life skills. We teach them entrepreneurship, whether it's truck driving. We teach them mechanics. We even trying to go as far as teaching robotics. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. we're just trying to put something back in our community other than guns, violence, sex, drugs. That's everywhere. Everybody's not going to be the next LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Michael Jackson. Come on. Everybody's not going to be a rapper. But those are the pipe dreams that these kids are gassed up on. And they feel like, well, I got to sell dope to get studio time. What? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I got to live what I rap about. Well, you throwing rocks at the penitentiary every day. So just go ahead and knock on the gate, tell them to let you in.
Right.
So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put that seed there to get something other growing, get their mind on something other than that foolishness right there. You know, and we're a small organization. Like my son, sometimes he get a little discouraged, and I say, son, it's like this. If you can reach one, if you can just reach one, that makes it worth it. That makes it all worth the while when I can see just one, if it's one kid, gravitate to go, you know what, I like this. I want more of this. Because that's what helped and saved me back in the day. When these guys took me in and showed me something other than stupidity, like, wow, so you telling me I can do this, and I can go to school and learn to drive that truck right there. Money doing that? Nobody told me.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody told me that. So that's what we're all about. We're just trying to help our community out. And we're just basically doing it brick by brick, brother. Brick by brick.
Amen.
It's hard. It's an uphill struggle because, you know, when I was growing up, I used to hear my grandmother always say, it takes a village to raise a child. And now
Amen.
That I'm a parent, I said, yes, Lord, she wasn't lying. She was dead on it. And it does. But when those parents come up and say, my God, when my child came home and told me what they learned within this little short time with you guys, and all they've been talking about is these cars and what they learned, and you see some parents actually kind of tear up, and that makes it all worthwhile. I made a difference. So if every one of us was just accountable for one kid in our community, come on, brother, we can put these guns down. We can put them down. But when I see older men walk by young brothers, and you can't even say, how you doing? That's a problem. I don't care if he got a mask on and his pants hanging off him. I can still tell him, what's up? Sometimes just that act of kindness is all that person needs. And I remember there was one situation where we was telling the kids, all right, y'all, be safe, we love you. And the kid froze, man. He stopped. And I said, you all right? You know what he told me? Ain't nobody never told me that before. Yeah, and I stood there and I was like, whoa. Nobody ever told you that? But he said, no, I ain't never heard that before. Okay, then. That just somebody care about me.
Right.
That's all. Someone cares. Sometimes that's all they need to know, brother. That somebody out there care because, you know, not throwing dirt or shade on nobody, but some of these kids having kids, they can't stop clubbing. So who raising the kid? Who raising his child? BET, MTV, the streets? You let the rappers raise the kids? That's why we getting what we get. So that's if we can just try to put something back to help somebody. You know what I'm saying? And just like my wife, she got in, you know, we do like the food giveaways now. We getting in with those, passing out food, helping families out there that's struggling, that need, that can't afford groceries this month or this week. Hey, if we can do that, we can make that happen. Let's make it happen. So that we see a need, we try to meet it. And it's the uphill struggles, but, you know, that's why I told my son, you got to lace your boots up and be ready for the long haul, brother, because it's not going to be easy. Now, if you were doing ignorant stuff, they'll flock to you. People, they'll pour into you for that ignorant stuff. But you doing something positive, it's going to be a rough road. And I like to tell my son this saying right here, my grandmother always told me, all of us sitting here in this community, if you count every head in this community that you live in, you probably can count over 5,000 people. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
That you consider your community. Okay, now, if you got 5,000 people in your community and you can't change anything, what's wrong? Jesus only had 12 and changed the world. Something wrong right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the
okay, so let me do
day
this.
One when she told me that. Uh-huh.
Okay, so let me do this because I see there's a lot of people here on the board that's in support. And so and I want to chime in. I have a lot of hands up. Thank you, sir. But I want to open up the mic to Nathan Perry, Jr. I believe that's who I'm opening up the mic. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the show. Thank you for chiming in. Is this Nathan Perry, Jr.?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you for coming in. All right. Listening to your dad, sure, that's your dad, but what can you say about what he just said and about the organization?
I can only bag him up on it. I mean, he's 100% right on everything. Basically, with the organization, we're pushing. I had to learn a lot of key points and a lot of key things dealing with the organization and working with people. You know, just working around kids, you know, me being a young adult myself, I had to learn how to be able to put myself aside and actually see about what the child needs. You know, it was like more so deeper than what I really thought it was. You feel me? So I had, it was a real big learning experience for me, you know, just growing and maturing in the areas that I needed to mature in so I can be able to even be a lending hand to the youth that we even teach, even the adults as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. You know, and let me ask you guys both, because seeing that I do have a lot of other individuals part of the organization on the board. I got their names and everything, so I'm going to open up you guys' mics momentarily, so be patient with me. You shared what it does and everything. When did this start? When did this whole idea begin? Hey, look, we're going to start this whole thing. How long has it been an organization that's been helping out, you know, people in the communities? As you well know, we were just recently talking about certain crimes that happened in the Alabama area. You know, and I've had an officer that's from Birmingham be a guest on my show. First of all, when did it all start with the Nightlife Outlaws? And again, as Senior said, you know, you're trying to teach a trade basically too, because you guys are car enthusiasts. So you rebuild cars, you do all kinds of stuff with automotive, which I love. I love that whole thing, because they don't even have automotive shop in schools anymore. But when did it all start?
You can take for that Nightlife Outlaws. For Nightlife Outlaws, it started in 2016. That was the year it actually started, where we basically said that, okay, hey, we want to start a group. You know, it wasn't more so the organization part of, like, the nonprofit. It was more so just we wanted to start a group, you know, where we was around cars, we was around, you know, people that love cars, people that love, you know, doing what we love to do. And basically that kind of started, like, you know, transition over to the nonprofit side, because even though we love cars, you know, I always wanted to give back to the community and help others and be able to teach, just like somebody once taught me. You know, my dad, he, you know, growing up as a young kid, he was showing me a lot of different things, you know, putting me ahead of the game. So, and I actually went to school, and me going to school, some of the things that they were teaching me in school, I already knew because my dad taught me. So it was like, okay, yeah. I was just more so hands-on or getting better with the different technologies in today's world while in school. But team was more so the year that we all got together, the group, guys, girls such as myself, and we was like tight like family, you know. And then it became an organization right after, and we basically said, okay, well, we want to make, you know, take this to a whole nother. We don't want to just be a random name out here, you know, with no foundation up under us. You know, we want to create a foundation that's strong. You know, when somebody see or when somebody hear Nightlife Outlaws, we don't want it to be like, okay, who are these guys? You know, like, we want it to be set in stone that we are a nonprofit organization, and this is exactly what we do. And we want to be able to, when we go to school, different things, we want to be able to implement those things.
Okay, well, I have a few folks here on the board. I'm going to open up that are part of the organization, I believe, or some of them may be, and some of them might have been to your events and want to chime in. So I'm going to open up a few mics here. Nadia Jones, Bart Estes, and also Terry James. I'm going to open up your mic, and I'm going to go ahead and let Nadia. I want to hear the female point of view of the nightlife. Outlaws. Hello, and welcome to the show, Nadia. Thank you for chiming in.
Hi. I guess nice to meet all of y'all. But I'd say the female side of things is very different because it is mostly males. But I can say from my point of view, I have learned so much. It was one class that we taught with kids at AG Gaston, and it was basically how to change a tire. And prior to that, I really thought that I knew how to change a tire. I was like, yeah, I know how to do all this type of stuff. And we get to the class, and I'm getting ready to teach, and I'm like, well, I don't think I know everything fully. So then, of course, you know, the guys, they stepped in and kind of showed me some things. And seeing everything from a different perspective, it helped a lot. Because all the things that I thought I knew, I really didn't. And learning new stuff, it helped me as a female. Because now, like, just the simple things help me just about every day. And, like, my dad, he's married and he lives somewhere else. So he's not close to me. And I can't just pick up the phone and call him for like the simple things like, hey, Dad,
right.
Can you come over, change this or can you come check this?
Right.
Like, I have to take the initiative to do it myself. So knowing that I can do that by myself and have been taught and learned so much from the guys in the group, it's really helped me tremendously. The group itself is just awesome because we've done so much and in the community and changed so many lives, but just for the women, it's so helpful. We've had one class in the past where we taught women how to do different things so that they are well in advance, and then we do have some more things coming up soon, but...
Well, I have to interrupt for a minute, but I mean, you're the woman on the board at the moment. I do have some hands that are waved, but can you elaborate? And then I'm going to open up the mic of, in fact, I already opened up the mic of Bart Estes. So, Bart, I'm going to bring you into the conversation momentarily. But as a woman, what other things have you learned? I mean, you already shared about changing a tire and everything, but... you know, I think I read the thing about, you know, just the rules of the road, the laws and everything. What have you learned outside of that you can share with us that they've taught you?
Outside of that, it's so much that I can't even really think about. Like, safety-wise, I want to say, like, when just driving in general, knowing who's around me. Taking my surroundings always. It's number one important for a woman, checking your surroundings, especially if you're by yourself. Like I said, when you don't have men with you and they're not like at your beck and call, like right there, and then when you need them, knowing safety tips, like when you do have like a flat or something, how to over, putting on hazard lights, maybe not being, like, if you are on the freeway and you get close to maybe a gas station, it's probably more than likely best, or I'm not even going to say more than likely, it's more important for you to go into that gas station and parking lot and be off the freeway so that you're safer that way. But if you didn't have a choice, you know, kind of be as far off as possible so that you're not too close to traffic. I can say
correct.
That. That's been
okay. Okay.
Number one important.
I appreciate that. I do. I'm not trying to rush you. I'm just saying that where I do appreciate you sharing that there because I want to open up a few more microphones because I see a lot of people here on the board, and I definitely want them to have a chance to chime in. Bart Estes, your mic is open. Welcome to the show. And what do you have to share about the organization.
Organization alone for me personally is it's been a bright light for me, so to speak, because as an organization, we're also family. That is something we stress a lot. We all have a heart for the things that we're doing, giving back to the community, doing a cruise with somebody, or just anything we might get into, you know. And then we got Christmas coming up. We got a lot of stuff, you know, and a lot of things to still accomplish in the year and years to come. But as for me, like with the organization, my personal opinion on it is it was a huge turnaround in my life, and it's one that I personally couldn't really explain, I guess, too much, because that gets a little bit on the personal realm. But, you know, this is my family. We're out here. We're trying to get into the thick of whatever we can get into to influence every child that we can to, you know, pick up a wrench. Or, heck, I met a kid one day that before that I wasn't at, or before I was in, and he was a teenager, and he's done had his whole, I think he did web design and like event coordination, had a whole business, teenage kid. And so like that was a memory that'll stick with me, because I think I was still in the probate stage at that time. So, but you know, it just showed me the colors I needed to see, so to speak.
I appreciate you sharing that. That's interesting. I'm going down the board, and I'm opening up the mics because there's a lot of y'all here, okay? So I want everybody to have a chance to speak out, and then what we're going to do, we're going to have an open mic. You can go ahead and share other things that might come across your mind. Right now, the microphone of Terry James is open. Welcome to the show, Terry. What's your thoughts? What do you have to share?
You know, I got a lot to say, but you know, say, how y'all doing first? Y'all doing okay?
Everybody's fine. Their mics are open. They're waiting to hear from you.
Okay. You know, my thoughts of being part of Outlaws is like, you know, it's always like OG said, like Nathan Clear said, it's always opportunity to teach somebody or reach that one person, you know, that you may not, everybody may not reach, you know. And I've been learning, you know, I don't know how to do everything on the car, you know, like brakes, and always learning from somebody else, learning more, you know, getting ideas of different things I can do in my car, learning how to help somebody else, you know. You're never too old, never too old to learn new things, you know. So just learning and growing as a man, trying to help the younger generation know how they can grow too and be better with themselves too.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. Okay. And then I'm going to open another microphone. I have another. I don't know who this is, but 205-478, your mic is open. Welcome to the show. What do you have to share about the Nightlife Outlaws? Because I need some great
Michael
stuff.
Gay, hey, Michael Gay, are you opening 478-1099?
Oh, wait a minute. 478. Zero. Oh, you know what? Yes. 478. Yeah, that mic is open.
Hey, mm-hmm. Good evening, everybody. This is Gwen, and I was just want to say good evening to everybody, Janice and Officer. That's right. But I just want to say, it's Nightlife Outlaws, and to Perry Senior and Perry Junior, and Mom, and everybody that's in the Nightlife Outlaws. It's a great organization. You guys are doing marvelous things, and it shows what you're doing. You're not only just doing it, but it shows in the, like they said, you don't, it's like when you're shining for God, you don't have to go around and you say that, you don't have to say that Carol Babel around and to have that scriptures all the time because it shows in your walk and in your talk. And it just, I just want to say, you know, keep doing what y'all doing. Y'all have a great organization. Y'all are the togetherness, and it shows that because when you're together, like they said, united we stand and divided we fall, and y'all stand unitedly, and you guys are doing great. And I just, you know, I just commend y'all for what y'all doing. Like I said, they're young, and they could be doing anything, but they choose to be a role model for these kids and a role model and doing things for the community because they could be doing anything else. You know, that's for anybody. Mm-hmm. They could be doing anything else. And like I said, I just commend y'all, all of y'all, for what y'all doing. You know, keep doing what you're doing because God rewards you for being diligently in work, and God rewards those that diligently seek him. And that's what y'all are doing. And guess what? God keeps taking you higher and higher. So just keep doing what you're doing. Great community, great organization. You know, the community appreciates you. I appreciate y'all for what y'all doing. And just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, amen. And what I want to do is, like I said, I want to open up all the 205 microphones because some names I knew already for the show, some I don't have. So I want to make sure that I open up all the mics and let everybody share. And then we'll go into other parts of the show. 205-538, your mic is open. Welcome to the show. What do you have to say about the Nightlife Outlaws? 205-538, are you there? Your mic is open. Okay. Honestly, they might have stepped away. Okay, so let me go back to Senior here on the show, and thank you, Mr. Nathan Perry, Senior. So you shared a lot of stuff that you guys have been doing or that you, you know, your goal is.
Right.
And which I really like that. But you guys are training and teaching individuals, young men, young women on automotives. And from what I understand, you guys got some heck of cars too, right? So I'm pretty sure you guys do car shows and everything. But how do people get involved into taking the classes? Because I've heard that you guys actually have classes. How do you set that up? Where do they go to? And then, of course, I want you to share your website on the show for folks in the Alabama area. And how far does this program reach?
Right. Okay. Well, that right there, that would be a question for Nadia.
Okay.
So, in order for them to be a part of our class that we have, they can reach us on our website, Nightlife Outlaws, so NIGHTLIFEOUTLAWZ as in zebra, .org. And once they pull up the website, it'll automatically have just our mission and our vision. They can go to, like, I set up a class tab, and from there they can set up classes, and it'll take them through the application of how they can do that. Or if they would like to set up a class via email, they can set it up, same name, Nightlife Outlaws with a Z, at gmail.com. Or they can give us a simple phone call at 205-538-2335. And from there, they can set up classes. They can get in touch with us on if they want to give donations. And because we are a nonprofit organization and we're 501c, all donations that are given are tax exempt. So if they would like to have that under their belt, they are more than welcome to do that. We also have two events coming up on August 12th for the kids, and it is auto class from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we also have a women's auto class on August 19th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and if they want more information on that, they can go to the website, or they can reach us through our Facebook page at Nightlife Outlaws with a Z, and from there they can see the different events that we have coming up.
Oh, fantastic. Now, that's what I'm talking about. And by the way, you guys are welcome to advertise all your events on my web pages, so I will share that with you, okay? I don't have a problem with that at all. It's called networking, right?
Yes.
Right.
Let me see. 205-538, your mic is open. I haven't heard a response from them. But now, give us a little gist of, I mean, you guys have some cars, right? What kind of cars
right.
are we looking at seeing at these events? I'm pretty sure they're going to be some stuff that's like, you know, that folks are going to be in awe. I have an uncle who, he has one of the original MG Midgets, right? You remember the MG
right.
Midget years ago? And he's got a ton
uh-huh.
of cars and everything. He's a little older, and he restores them. He has an old Buick. He also has a Jaguar that he's really kind of started on, but he didn't finish it yet. It's one of those Jaguars that look like a Bentley, like the old model Bentley that had the chase. You know, when you were sitting in the back seat, you had that tray that folded out from the front seat so you could put your stuff on, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? That's
the
old.
XJ series.
Yeah, it's a
that's
12-cylinder
XJ
car.
Series. Yeah.
So,
yeah. XJ,
you know what I'm
talking
about.
That's the XJ12.
Okay. I mean, this thing, I was just so amazed when I looked at it. But, of course, you guys do and show your art and your vehicles. Can you just tell us a little bit about the vehicles that you put on display during your events, what the listeners will be able to see when they attend one of your events?
Well, what we try to do is, once again, the car culture is a wide variety. So,
mm-hmm.
like what my son does, he brings in the younger generation, you know, with the 350Zs and the Hondas. That's what Bart, you know, he's an import guy. He got this fixed up Lexus and you know, but what I bring in, I try to keep an older group of guys in front of these cats. And what they do, they bring
mm-hmm.
in the 66 Chevelles with the big 454 motors in them, and they got these 65 Impalas, you know what I'm saying? You know, like
right.
one of my brothers listening now, Iron, you know, he's an old school muscle head, you know, Big Amp, Brother Riley. So this guy got a 67 Corvette with, you know, with a nice engine. So we're putting both worlds out there. So the
mm-hmm.
cars they're looking at a lot of time older than them. So the car is older than them. And, you know, and my son look at me and go, "Dad, what kind of car is that?" I'm like, "Dude, that car older than me." But, you know, we all here to learn. And that's the beauty
exactly.
of it. We all get together. You like what you like. I like what I like. But we all got one thing in common. Cars bring people together. I don't care if you white, black,
true.
Blue, or green, Jew, Hebrew,
true.
Or Christian. Cars bring people together. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, earlier you were talking about Trump. Car meet, this guy could be a Democrat, he could be a Republican, but one thing they got in common, they like that Corvette sitting right there, and that's a neutral ground. See what I'm saying? That's
yeah.
real talk.
Right.
They like that Corvette right there. And they can sit right there and talk about that Corvette all day long and never have an argument, disagreement. So that's the beauty
yeah.
of it. So that's
mm-hmm.
what we try to bring, the beauty of the car culture. We all learn together. And, you know,
mm.
what better way to see these young guys looking at cars that my mom drove back and forth to high school, and they learn about them. You know, it's almost like a time capsule. To see some
mm-hmm.
of the stuff that these guys bring out. And, I mean, hey,
well,
I'm learning about a lot of these cars. Go ahead.
Well, let me do this. I have my co-host sitting in the wings, and I'm pretty sure they probably have some questions or comments. First, I have to go to the lady of the house, and then I'm going to go to Officer Crenshaw. Janet, do you have any questions or comments based on what you've been listening to?
Well, yes. First of all, I want to say, Gwen, she's a fantastic promoter. I don't know if she is involved in your organization, but every time she comes on, she's always really high about whoever she's promoting. One of the things I want to ask about is, can you tell us how you collaborate with like-minded organizations or business owners, you know, dealing with your cars?
Well, to be honest with you, first of all, we got to pray about it because everybody's agenda is not the same. I'm just being honest now. Well, first you got to pray about this thing. Okay, and then we like to sit down and meet with the person that's trying to collab. So now you put what you want us to do or expect from us, and what is your end game? What are you trying to do here? Then we come in and show you what we got and what we do and how we do what we do, and this is our end game. Now, can we put something together that can work, and how is it going to benefit us both and the community? So does that answer your question? So
yes,
if it's not gonna uplift the community, then we there's no reason for us to do that.
We gotta be on one accord, right, and have to come
exactly.
To, right, one accord and have to be able to you can compromise. I know a lot of people don't like that word compromise, but sometimes what I've learned is that it's not always your way, but it's a way that it can work for the community. See, it's not all about me.
That's it.
It's about what we're trying to do. Officer Crenshaw, you have any questions or comments you want to share?
No, he just answered my question because I was going to ask if they plan on expanding out to additional cities or states. And he just answered that because it's just like, excuse me, all these people travel, you know, 2 hours to go to a church that's being televised, and they're not putting anything back into their community. They're putting it in somebody else's community. So he answered
right.
That question right there.
And that's a good point. When you look at that, you know, what he just said, right, if it's something that's not being, I guess, divided in the sense of where, you know, you help me, I help you type thing. Do you
right.
run across that a lot? Which obviously you're just kind of like sharing that, is that where it's always where a person wants it all to be about their organization and not
right.
trying to network
exactly.
with yours. Do you run across that
exactly.
a lot?
All the time. And if we went through some learning experiences and some growing pains because my son, he has a genuine heart. Me, I'm more from the streets. I don't trust people that easy. Him, on the other hand, he's got a good heart. He got that from my wife. Me, like I said, I'm standoffish. Okay, hey, how you doing? What do you want? But now him, oh, you need help? Okay. I want to help you. And I was like, son, you have to slow down. But dad,
he must be illegal.
Yeah,
he must be illegal.
You know, I don't know.
Officer Crenshaw said he must be a Libra.
Oh, a Libra.
Well,
he's on the phone line.
He's on the phone line. So he can share that information.
I was born in November. He was born in November. But, you know, so that thing right there, he listened to my wife in the holler. She the Libra. But, yeah, that's why I say he got that from her, not me. So I'm more standoffish. I'm, you know, hey, hold on. What do you want? But, yeah, we've been kind of, as you can say, burned, skint, been taken advantage of a couple of times. But you know what? And, you know, we try not to take that the wrong way. Say, hey, it was growing pains. You got to learn. You know,
right.
Just like when we working on a car, it don't always come together the first time. You trial and
right.
error. Now you done got burned. You know not to touch that stove again, don't you? Yes, sir. Okay, then.
Now, I have to ask this question here because, like I mentioned before, there's an officer who's been a guest on the show. You guys may know who Officer Harper is in Birmingham, and he does things for back to school, stuff and this, that, and the other. Do you guys try to work with law enforcement? You know, you guys try to partner up, or have you ever tried that and something didn't work out right? I don't know. That's the question, Zach. You know, because there's
yeah.
a lot of organizations,
yes.
and we all know, not just in Birmingham, here in Atlanta, there's a lot of programs that they're starting. as far as trying to prevent the crime, the crimes that are going on. Birmingham and also Atlanta or the states have allowed where folks can get guns and not have to have a permit and everything. So anyone can, you know, it's like the Wild Wild West. Are you trying to network with local police departments on programs regarding those issues and them trying to work with you to do things for the community as something positive?
Oh yeah, we've went to them several times. We have several sit downs, several meetings, and that's another one where till you get to the point you go, wait a minute. You want my organization to do what? Now, we can't do that. We're not set up to go that far into
it. I mean, you're free to say whatever you want to say, and I mean, I don't think they're going to arrest you. But what is some of the requests that they gave you and you turned down?
Well, matter of fact, there was several things we talked about. We was trying to get a basketball tournament up.
Okay.
And this was discussed last year. And all of a sudden, nothing. They wanted us to provide a venue, the rims, the goals, and I sit there and listen to their proposal, and I told my because these kids don't remember when we had Hoop Fest back in the days, and mm-hmm. that was something that was that the community brought in, the police department, the firefighters, they all came in and they showed the kids the police car, the fire engine, and that showed the kids that, hey, the police are not your enemies.
Correct.
Is that, you know what I'm saying? And that's that made kids want to become police, firefighters, city councilmen, because you actually got to meet these people.
Mm.
Well, when I brought that, well, I'm older, of course. When I brought that up, the older gentleman said, well, yeah, that sounds good. And all of a sudden, nothing. But you want us to bring the venue? We cannot bus kids out of the city. Where are we going to get buses from to bus kids out of the city? That's ludicrous. Well, this person didn't want to work with this. That person didn't want to work with that person. So we ended up in the middle of a political debate. And I told my son, I said, nah, that's not going to work out, dude. And he was like, I just don't understand. My wife, she was a little bent out of shape. I said, welcome to politics.
Exactly.
Simple as welcome to politics. That's
okay,
all I
so
can
let
tell
me
you.
Say this. So can I say this real quick? I'm sorry. I have to, and we might go a little bit over time. There's two numbers here from 205, 205-427. I see you on the board. If you want to join the conversation, hit the number one on your phone, 205-478. Same thing with you. Go ahead and hit the number one on your phone if you have a question or comment. But now here's what I look at it where, but then at some point, I kind of wonder how come you don't involve the media and let them know. I know Donald Trump has made it where don't believe the fake media and everything, but no, there's some investigative reporters and all kinds of stuff where they'll take a look into things, seeing that you're trying to do something for the community. Have you ever considered going to the media and sharing this of what you're really trying to do, a positive thing for the community, but here's all this red tape and they're taking you down a different road? Have that ever crossed your mind? Because
okay.
They will let the public know, right?
Hold on, I'm finna break this down to you. Once again, you said you lived in Birmingham, right?
Yeah. I lived over there
so
for 4 years.
Okay, now watch this. Let's get the chop in this fable. If you're not in that inner circle, then, once again, what can you do for them? Can you scratch my back? So, once again, we have made the news for doing what we've done. Hey, that's cool. You see what I'm saying? But the good thing about it is everything done in the dark should come to the light. So we just keep grinding. We're not in it for a pat on the back or a data boy. We in it to actually genuine reason. But the things about it is you draw the wrong people that's looking for a limelight. And if they're there's no way they finna get up under that car and get oil on them so they don't see what they can get the limelight out of this, then I don't want to deal with that. Then once again, this city has turned all these Karens against cars. So now, watch this. Why in the blue blazes my people, black people, are so just, when it comes to cars, muscle cars, oh, my God, that's the worst thing from Satan. But now if I go 20 minutes up the highway into Hoover, Pell City, Gaston, they welcome cars. So now you tell me which one you going to go. See, we're here to build men, not destroy them. So when you're trying to get your name out there, it's the old saying.
But what you're saying, Mr. Perry, is that where what you're sharing with me is that where, right, if you go up into the suburbs of the city of Birmingham, it's okay. But if you're in the city, they don't want that, what you're trying to offer.
Exactly.
Correct? Okay.
Exactly.
Hmm.
When the last time you've been to Birmingham?
About 4 months ago.
Okay, so you seen the downtown district, how all the clubs and the drinking and the partying and this and that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. That's revenue for the city. Do what you do. But if it's not that, you get a deaf ear.
Right.
You get a deaf ear. Okay. We even say, hey, you got Legion Field over there. That stadium sitting there, just sitting there. Why don't we do something with the cars over there? Oh, we'll think about it. Okay.
Well, you know, you only have, like, the Magic City Classic is what occurs over there. I've been to a couple of them. So I'm aware of that.
Once a year.
You know, that's the only time that, right, once a year. So this field, because the college team has got their own stadium, which is no longer in Birmingham, down closer, right, to where the school is. Right. Legion Field is pretty much dormant to almost throughout the year. Yeah, I'm very much aware of that. I am. Which is really sad, because it doesn't help the economy in the neighborhood or in the area, because they're not booking anything there. But then again, you have to look at your leaders who are black, okay, that can look at, hey, but here's the thing. I do remember back when Atlanta got the Olympics here, right, and then some of the soccer games were sent over to Birmingham, right? And so then that did help the economy over there, right? But unfortunately, you don't get the Olympics every Olympic, and that's every 4 years. But I do agree with you where they need to look at using this facility more so and spending some money to upgrade it, you know, get it to where individuals would want to do an event there. It's a historic field. There's no doubt, you know, but everybody's trying to build something new. But sometimes a historic place, you know, is the perfect backdrop for a lot of things. The movie industry, in fact, has become really big here in Georgia. I'm sure there's a lot of great backdrops that could be used in the movie industry there, meaning even Legion Field. You know, so that's where your leaders over there need to look into all that. But I follow what you're saying. They're not concentrating on those things or looking into it. When it comes to you doing your events and everything, you're not getting the support, like you said. Where does it come from, though? I'm sure it's not just coming straight out of all you guys' pockets and everything. Do you get support from the community?
Yes, it is.
All of
Michael
it is coming
Gay,
out
yes,
of your
it
own
is.
Pocket? Okay.
I'll repeat myself again, Mr. Michael Gay. Yes, it is.
Not all of it, but you're telling me yes, it is. I would think that maybe some organ or some other stores might be helping you out or this, that, and the other. But it's all out of your own pockets. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. I notice everybody on the board has been quiet, but can I say this? Can I say this? Anybody whose mic is open, which everybody's mic is open, you're welcome to chime in and share what your thoughts have been since the segment of it. I really enjoyed the conversation. I believe it's Nathan Jr. Your mic is still open. Everybody, Terry James, Bert, you know, you guys have anything to say and elaborate on what has been discussed so far? And Nadia Jones, all your mics are open, so you're welcome to chime in.
Hey, I just wanted to say, speaking on the donations part, basically, like, I wanted to explain, like, why we need donations and how that would help us. Basically, with us being a nonprofit, I've actually had people ask me, like, so how do you, you know, how do you guys make money? And I'm like, well,
right.
It's not really about making money. You know what I'm saying? We are a nonprofit. However, when we go to teach classes, you know, we bring kids food, water. We host a basketball type deal where we use a game type tournament or whatever to be able to teach.
Mm-hmm.
We buy gold, like we'll buy basketball gold to be able to teach or, you know, in that area. And that's where the money goes. It's not going into like, hey, you know, I'm Nathan Perry and I'm going to take the whole $100 of these donations and put it in my pocket. No, these donations are going to the kids. And basically, sponsors, people that can give, they'll know for a fact that when you give to our organization, you're basically sponsoring a child. You're basically sponsoring more than one child. I mean, at AG Gaston, I know over like 20 kids at AG Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at many more organizations that we've taught, it's been more than 20 kids. So when we do things with kids, like, that's where the money is going, and that's how we're able to feed the children, make sure, you know, we're in the sun, we're up on a hot car. We don't want the kids to be dehydrated. We want to be able to give them water. We want to be able to give them, you know, fluids, food, and make sure that they're good at the same time while they're learning. And even with tools, you know, like being able to buy tools and stay up to date because technology is constantly moving, you know. And we don't want to be in 2012 with technology, you know. If this is 2023, we want to stay updated so they can be updated. And we want to stay ahead of the game and be able to teach those kids the newness of what's going on. And able to do that, this is where the funds are going. We'll be able to buy new tools, more than one tool. You know, it's kind of hard when you got one tool that costs $100 versus I can get, okay, with donations, I can get more than one of these tools and more than one kid can come and be hands-on.
Right.
So donations,
can I share something with you guys for
a
moment, though, what I found interesting based on what you just said? And I kind of wonder if you looked into it, but a lot of folks don't know. I do have a regular job. I don't just do this radio show every Saturday. I'm a supervisor at a Walmart store. I have to oversee three different departments every day. Every day, I hear an announcement from what they call the claims department, and they say they want to reach out to all departments and bring back your denote bring all of your donations back to claims. Now, granted, I just got this position, and I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? Well, common sense. There's things you can donate. This is Walmart, and Walmart's everywhere. I wonder if you guys knew about that, and if you ever tried to check into it, because they do donate, and like you were talking about, basketballs and this and the other. Some of the simplest things, they will go ahead and donate because they can't sell it, right? They can't ship it back to the manufacturer. It's not any credit to the chain. So have you guys looked into it? And if you haven't, I would recommend you contact them. I mean, Walmart's even, you know, now recently is like they're looking at putting product in that are just locally grown or local brands. You know, doesn't have to be in all their stores nationwide, but if it's something that can sell locally. But when it comes to donations, Walmart does give to nonprofit. So I'm just saying, I would look at looking into that because I know it exists. Somebody's taking advantage of it, and I'm just saying that if I were you, I would look into it, you know. And then, and if there's an issue, then I would, you know, address it accordingly. But yeah, because I mean, there's too much stuff being thrown away. I see food thrown away every day, you know, just wasted.
Right.
You know.
So,
you know. In fact, the store just the store that I'm in. I'm just going to say this. Their freezers broke down one time, and it added up to over $70,000 worth of food that perished. $70,000 worth of food. Of course, they could write it off. But you know what I'm saying is that where it doesn't have to be that way. I wish that they could have taken that food and gave it to a non-profit, you know, before it spoiled or whatever. Or to a shelter or anything, but they don't do that, you know, because based on health reasons and this and the other. But go ahead. You were about to speak, I think. It was Nadia who was about to speak.
Yeah, that, yes, sir, it was me. So we have reached out to a couple of Walmarts on receiving donations for our recent back-to-school giveaway to get supplies to give back to the kids, but we were denied. So in that sense, we had to basically go to our plan B, and like OG said, we do everything out of our own pocket. So go into our plan B, getting stuff that we need for those kids, and going from there. Like we gave away over 100 backpacks at our recent giveaway, and several supplies. And even with the donations that we did receive, Gwen did help us with that. And we're so grateful for her and the support for that as well. But I know our main thing and our important thing is trying to get, like, grants and stuff from people so that we can get the things that we need for these children. Because it's important.
Can I say yes, something, Nadia?
Go ahead.
Brother Michael, come on now.
Go ahead, sir.
Come on now. We talking about us. I can't do nothing but keep it real. Okay, watch this, bro. Watch this. If you found the fountain of youth, who you going to tell about it? That's the problem. Our people are so jacked up that we like crabs in a barrel. They don't want to do nothing with the information, but they don't want to see you do nothing with it either. Now, what sense do that make? But these are our people. The information is there, but if I told you what I know, then he going to come up and do something past me. Look, I have no problem with somebody supersede me. I tell people all the time, I don't care how you get it. I don't care how you get the blessing, long as you get it. I don't have to bring you the blessing. God will use somebody else to bring it to you. Make sense? I don't need the pat on the back. But our people are so jacked up so we can sit here and beat the bushes for days, and now you just said what you said. I'm going, really? I didn't know that.
Well here's the thing.
Appreciate that information.
About me. But I'm going to say this, sir. Here's the things that were, you know, I'm an information gatherer. You know, I try and do my best to listen and observe of what I see around me. And if you don't observe what's around you, you won't understand it. If you have a blind eye to what's wrong, then you're just ignorant, right? But with me, I pay attention and I start thinking about it. You know, I know it's not right. I know it's wrong, just like the young lady just said, that you guys already approached a Walmart and everything. But there's a lot of people that you can go over their heads, and question their practice. Because here's the thing, you know, there's some things that are law and some things that are policy, right? Some things they call the law, some things they call a policy. Walmart has a policy. So and many stores do. But the thing is when you violate your policy, then that comes into question. See, here you're going to allow this person to do this, but you're not going to allow this other organization to do the same thing. I have an issue with that because then you have to answer to me, well, how come they can't and I can't? You follow me? Well, how come you allowing them? And I'm – hold on. I'm legit. All my paperwork is in order. Why are you turning me down? See, so then you have to answer that question. See, so, and that's how come I say this, you know, because it happens a lot. And there's a lot of, as you say, our people who are in power to make those decisions, but they choose to turn a blind eye. So we got to call them out. We must call them out because it affects the community. You're doing a positive damn thing, right? So why would you, you know, I don't buy that, you know, and I'm not saying you, I don't buy that. Oh, well, no. Well, you said yes to the other person. And I'm looking at it. And there's a lot of stuff that is public that you can look at. You can look at it. It's available to the public. And we're going to do a little bit of overtime. I do see another 205-478. I see you wave your hand. I thought you waved it earlier, but I'm going to open up your mic and let you briefly speak. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. What's your name? 205-478. I don't want to give out your whole phone number so folks don't be calling your house.
Hey.
Okay,
baby. It's me. It's Gwen. Hey.
Oh, okay, you're back. Okay.
Okay. Hey, I've been listening all the time. I was just going to piggyback on what they were saying about Walmart, what they were saying about anybody. My thing about it is when you go to these different places, these Walmarts, now I've been dealing with, and they know that, and Mark, you know that too, I've been helping Officer Harper a while. But the thing about it is you have to be persistent. You don't go and just say, hey, give it to somebody. You ask, hey, what's the manager name that I need to give this to? That's what I do. I said, what manager? I get a name.
Okay.
When I get that name, I go back and say, hey, just say the girl name was Susie. I said, hey, Susie, whoever told me that I left this for her. That was my persistence when I went there with y'all. I took the letter there. I said, hey, what's the manager name? I got her name was Antoinette somebody. I said, okay. So I told the girl, I said, hey, they called on her. She was gone. So they called her. I said, hey, tell her I left this for them, and this is something that they're doing Saturday. This is a nonprofit organization. I just wanted to say, hey, this is a young man. These are young people trying to help give back to the community. So when I went back the next day, I asked for her. She said, oh, you was the one who left the letter. She went right in the office and told me, come stand right here. I stood right there. But sometimes you have to be persistent. You have to be persistent.
Right. Okay.
That's the same way I do.
And
I go,
But no, I want to say, and you're on point. And that's how come I'm sharing what I know because I work for the company, is that you got to make sure that they're giving the right information. If you ask who's the manager, they might give you the name of the manager on duty, not the store manager, but the manager on duty, which has no control of anything. You got to ask for who is the store. You have to clarify who you are requesting. See what I'm saying? Because they have a lot of different managers, but you got to clarify. I need to have connection with the store manager. And then if you have an issue with getting with the store manager, then you have to be like, okay, so then who's your regional supervisor? So you have to keep going up the ladder because they have regional supervisors. They have marketing managers who make a decision as far as what's going to be inside that store for sale. And it really goes to the marketing supervisor. So you have to, and Gwen's right, you know, clarify who you are requesting and what you're requesting.
because right. otherwise they're going to look at it, well, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm going to go ahead and have you go down the rabbit's hole and realize you're not really reaching the person that you really need to help you. So you have
right.
to go in
That's
there.
That's why I said I didn't
you know. Yeah, well, I'm telling you, I know. Our warfare, I've seen it. I see it all the time, you know, and the things that where and the individuals who do it. Go ahead, sir.
No, that's why I just said you just enlightened me on something, brother, because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And
there are individuals
who
want to be managers. There are folks who will play the role of supervisor and manager and take you down a rabbit hole, and you'd be like, and like Gwen just said, you're not getting connected to the people who really make the decisions and the choices, and they never knew anything about you. They never
right.
saw anything. It stopped right at them. So you have to definitely, you know, make sure you request the actual store manager, speak with them, talk with them in front of them. And if you have a problem with the store manager, they have a supervisor too. So you can go over them. Be like, okay, you don't want to talk? Then let me go to the marketing manager. Let me go to the person at the corporate office and share what I'm trying to share with you. Go ahead.
Oh, my wife's on the line.
I'm Kendra. I'm Nathan's mom, and I'm Binger's wife. But I'm Gwen went to one Walmart, and I went to another. Now, she was successful at the Walmart she went to, but I've done the same thing, and I wasn't successful at the Walmart that I went to because they said they were no longer giving donations. It's several things because I work in the background, and so I get a lot of the feedback from these companies that's telling no, you know, or they've already gave out their grant limit, or they already gave out the donations that they were going to give out for that year. So when you're dealing with Walmart has an online grant that you can fill out and apply for. They ask you
exactly.
for information to prove who you are, and they let you pick a location that you want to file that grant up under. And they actually let you pick several locations. And so when mm-hmm. you do that, you know, you have to wait for a period of time. They'll email you and they'll let you know if you actually received the grant or not. All right, so I
mm-hmm.
filled out just about every grant that's affiliated around us in the community where we live and where other members live. And every single grant was turned down. I actually
okay.
all the people. They said that, well, have you talked to a manager there? I said, okay, well, that's what I need to do. So I went to the store, talked to the managers and everything. They said, okay, well, yeah, okay. Gave them the information that they needed, everything. Went back in, mm-hmm. what did exactly what the lady said, to fill out the form again because they were still issuing grants out. And it got turned down the second time. It's
mm-hmm.
it's only so much you can do if they want to give you that grant or not. Now I'm not.
Now
saying,
let me.
You
now,
know,
now, I'm sorry to intervene, but because you.
No, you're fine.
But here's the thing that I have a story, but and I'm going to make it short. But I had that same issue with Pizza Hut years ago, right? I'm across the street talking to my neighbor right across the street. His house faces an intersecting road that deads into the street that I live on. And he ordered a pizza. And so I said, that looks good. I think I'll order one. I order one and they tell me, no, we cannot deliver to this. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You just did to my neighbor right across the freaking street. Unfortunately, that was the cutoff line because about not even a quarter mile up was the project from where I lived at that time, right? I lived in a duplex, and the majority of people that lived on my street were seniors. But they told me, no, we can't deliver to you. And I'm trying to understand this. I'm like, hold on. I just saw the pizza man right here.
And so I called and complained and got a phone call from the district supervisor, like to meet you. I said, cool. We had a date and time. Him and another individual came to my house. We sat there and talked about it. He said, well, looking at the demographics here, see, because they're looking at the demographics, right? There's been, you know, armed robberies and this and the other. And then keep in mind, to the north of me was a large apartment complex, which they stopped serving there. But I said, but here's the problem. You guys are not looking at, you know, your route. You guys, your drivers will come through the projects and get robbed. But I have nothing to do with that. And I said, it just doesn't make any sense that you have the cutoff point right here. Long story short, he said, okay, I'm going to look this over again. And he did. And the next thing I knew, not even 2 days later, a Pizza Hut car was coming through the neighborhood, throwing out little cups that said Pizza Hut with coupons in them down my street. See, if you don't speak up and speak out, then it's truly ignored. But you let them know, hey, look, you got to understand that. No, what you're doing, you're trying to say I'm part of this whole thing. You need to re-look at what you do and where you deliver. But to me, that was disrespectful. Now, based on what you just told me, you need to do your research. And if they're denying you, you need to find out who they are giving those grants to. And there's a way to figure that out. You need to find out, okay, so who is getting it? Who's getting these grants? If you're telling me no, you're telling somebody yes. Who are you saying yes to? I'd like to know what area. You got to do your research in your homework and then call them out. Then call them out.
But you know one thing about that, Mike? We're a small organization. It's a lot of moving parts, and that's why I say it's a learning curve. So we got growing pains, and we're doing it the best way we can. You reach out, and time, you know, like you say, everybody works. So when you reach out, that's the time that you have. You try to follow up, but then at the same time, okay, we already promised these kids that we're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm coming from now?
And you have to spend out of your own pocket, but you should have the assistance of these companies that are giving assistance to other areas, but you know, are ignoring you. I follow exactly what you're saying, and to me, that's wrong. On my end, what I'll try to do, see if I can help assist and do some research myself. But that's what you have to do. You have to find out who is the money going to. If you can't help me, well, not the money, but the product is going to. If you can't help me with the product, you got to be giving it to somebody, and that should be available for you to know. It should be. And then you can question it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, you guys.
That's why I say
you know what?
Learning curve.
I've gone 15 minutes over the show, and you know I really, really, really enjoyed this conversation. I'd love for you all to come back. Seriously, I'm really excited about what you're doing. You know, I come to Birmingham occasionally from time to time. I have a lot of friends over there. I plan on being there probably in about another month, so hopefully I get a chance to meet not all of you, but some of you, and just see what's going on. Okay. Again, can I get you to share how we can get in touch with your organization and everybody who's listening in, your website, and so they can look it up and follow what you're doing.
Yes. So our website, again, is nightlifeoutlaws.org. That's nightlifeoutlaws, as in zebra, .org. or you can reach us via email at nightlifeoutlaws, spelled the same way, at gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Facebook.
I'm sorry, I hit the button too soon. I didn't realize you had more to share. I apologize.
No, I'm sorry.
I apologize. But I got to do it one more time, you guys. Please, if you have more to share, go ahead and share it.
I was just saying, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Nightlife Outlaws.
Okay. Here we go. There you guys, I am, folks. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. As y'all know, we broadcast live every Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. And, yes, we are heard around the world on blogtalkradio.com. Coming up next Saturday, this cat has the number one song in Europe, number one R&B song, the one and only Mr. If you haven't looked him up, I think I shared it earlier in the show, Mr. Joe Levy will be our guest, and so I'm looking forward to that. Returning soon, Superwoman, Ms. Karen White, will be coming back soon here on the show. And, again, I want to thank you guys so much. I really enjoyed the conversation. Looking forward to you coming back again. And all the Nightlife Outlaws here on the board, Nathan Perry, Sr., Jr., Nadia Jones, Bart Estes, Terry James, and the list goes on and on. 205 has been in the house, okay, all night long. So I truly appreciate you guys, okay? Thank you so much.
No doubt.
Yeah. We're going to do this again. I promise. Okay.
Appreciate you.
You
hey,
know
we
what?
Got one more thing, Mr. Mr. Mike,
sure.
Could you do this one favor for us? At the count of
what's
three,
that?
Everybody holler, Outlaws. One, two, three.
Mm-hmm.
Outlaws.
And of course, I have to thank, you know, she's the one who brought you guys to my attention, Miss Gwen Taylor. Thank you, Gwen, so much. Appreciate your input and appreciate you bringing individuals to the family, all right? And so, thanks, you know. All right, I got to get out of here, and you guys have a blessed remainder of your weekend. You've been listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll see you next Saturday with our special guest, Mr. Joe Levy. Good night. Peace.
Good night.
Good night.